This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. Today I have a very special guest, Rhonda Pittman, the founder and CEO of RN Company Business Management, serving startups and small companies as a CFO and raising capital for a clientele of primarily creatives, women, people of color, and queer people. She also created courses that reach more people so we can shift the balance of power and money in our world through practical approaches, habits, and templates. Rhonda, welcome to my show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining. And you know, this is an entrepreneurship show, so I am going to ask you how you took the leap. If you can give me a brief background story on how you started an amazing company.
Of course. Well, it's been a journey for probably about 10 or 11 years. I left a, you know, I think what most people would define as a really good corporate job or corporate-ish job that was kind of brutal, to be honest. And I never really felt like I fit in. But I learned a ton from my experiences working for other people, particularly the last job that I had, which was working for a pretty big investment firm that was rapidly growing and scaling and went public after I left. So anyone who's had that experience going public or the preparation leading up to it knows, you know, that it's just around the clock work for everyone involved. And I just felt like there was an issue of like it didn't feel equitable to me, on top of the fact that I just didn't feel like it was an environment that I belonged in. And I had, you know, the right people around me. And I think I'd had examples throughout my life of entrepreneurship. And I think I'm a little bit of somebody who's always looking for freedom. And that's kind of one of my values around success. And so the stars just aligned really, really nicely for me. And I left my job and I kind of-ish took a year because again, the stars aligned and I was just provided for in such a great way to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. And after about a year, I had my first client. I think it was like a year to the day almost, or the week. I took my first client on. And at that time I was doing more sort of operations work, but it's really just, it's been a long evolution since then to get to where I am now. So I don't know. I feel like I just kind of got pushed by the universe in a way.
Well, I'll tell you, as a CEO of RomaLeaf, which is a startup, you're solving a huge problem because we're still in our preliminary stages where we can't really afford to hire a full-time, not even a part-time CFO at the moment. So your company is really solving a huge problem. And what I would love to learn a little bit more is about that specifically.
Yeah.
You know, when just tell me about that service.
Well, you know, it's interesting that RomaLeaf is like so early stage, although you're not that baby. You've done some pretty amazing things. But I don't know, maybe it's just my network or the people that I know and the clients that I've worked with in the past. But one of the things that started happening is I started getting referred to people who were very early stage in their businesses, whether they were looking to raise capital because I build financial models. I'm such a weird nerd. I really want to understand the underlying economics and business model of like, how's the money going to work? How are you going to do this thing? I just have an inherent curiosity around it. So kind of works out for my clients. And then I also just manage like day-to-day finances. But because I come from sort of an operations and tech background and have that curiosity, I'm always looking at the big picture with my clients. When I sit down with them or I first have conversations with them, I really want to understand the entire world of their business so that if I'm focused on their finances, I can really sort of shape and craft it in a way that's going to serve them and what their sort of like short and medium term goals are. And we're planning for the future because I functionally, I really want everything to work for where they're headed, at least for some period of time. So I think there's like that kind of approach and really getting it. I always tell people, like, if you're not comfortable with me pulling out that junk drawer in your kitchen and dumping it on the floor, you don't want to work with me because that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm gonna put back together really nice and neat.
Well, I think anyone who has knowledge about finances would appreciate that. And I highly appreciate that. I would love for you to put it out and just help me. I know we've talked about this a while back ago when I first learned about your services, but in terms of raising capital, I really want to talk about that a little bit, because my plan was to start looking into potentially raising capital for Romaleaf this summer, but my pregnancy sort of changed my plans, and I'm putting it on hold until October, and hopefully I can pick things up then. But if I were to come to you and say, all right, end of the year, I want to start thinking about pitching to VCs and start raising capital, how long, what would be the time frame that you would need to help me prep for everything?
Well, first and foremost, it depends on what you have and what you already know. So one of the things that, you already know this, but well, for the audience listening, it's really easy at the early part of the business it's fairly easy to put together the expense side of your business. So I always tell people, put together like your staffing costs and how you think your staffing needs to grow over some period of time. And definitely at least 18 months to the best of your ability. And then what are your just general operating costs for your business and overhead? Put that together. These are all like separate, distinct items. So don't just like clump them together. And then if you have an expense that goes along with like a product that you sell, so service business don't have this, but like with Romaleaf, for instance, you do. So you have, packaging and your product that you put inside there. So you're gonna have to spend some amount of money on a cost of goods sold. So to the best of someone's ability, I say provide all of the information you can about that, what you're gonna sell it at, what your markup will be and things like that. And then I wanna sit down with people, I wanna like kind of mine through that information, formulate my questions, and then ask them about what's their business model. How are they planning to do this? How are they planning to like scale it and market it? And so that I can understand what their story needs to be in a mathematical sense, because I think models can really tell a beautiful story over a period of time. And that's probably where I would start. And so if you had a lot of that ready for me and you were willing to do some work sessions with me where I could just, annihilate you with a lot of questions that hopefully you know the answer to or you have a sense of. I usually tell people that it can take as little as 8 weeks. I literally just finished a model. I did it in about 6 weeks for a client of mine. We're raising a
virtual. That's pretty quick. That's quick, 6 weeks.
Well, to be fair, I am their CFO and I manage a lot of their day-to-day finances, and I've been with them for a while, so I know the business pretty much inside and out. So I just took an operating business and built a model for it, but it took me that long. And people would be like, that's a long time. That's actually lightning fast. So I think like a fair like estimate is probably 2 months to 4 months.
Okay.
Because people are operating businesses and you're running around and doing stuff and you have to gather information or data that you may not have readily accessible. You may have to go somewhere and request it. Like if you're building something, you've got to get some sense of construction costs, for instance, or you want to find out about commercial real estate, so on and so forth. That can also delay things just to get really good information to build out a smart business. And then I think it's an iterative process. So we may get to a version that we really like, but when we start shopping it around or showing it to people, they may give us feedback where we go, oh, we need to adjust something here.
Got it. And if just to confirm, when you're helping and providing this sort of service and prepping our financials for a pitch, can you give me a little overview of what type of documents you prepare? Is it like the 3 to 5 year plan or?
Yeah, totally. I think most of the time it's a minimum of 3 years. I have done some things for like investors that are sort of already involved with people where it was like 12 or 18 months, but those were like really quick kind of, we just need to inject some capital into the business. But yeah, in general, as a rule, it's gotta be 36 to 60 months. And I think that like what really, you may not know what the business is going to look like in 3 years or 5 years, but I think that investors from their perspective want to see the strategies that you're applying, and they want to kind of, it's an expression of like what your plans are and the steps that you're going to take to get to where you say you want to go. Whether that actually happens or not, that's a different story.
That answers my question, and it kind of leads me to the next question. In terms of figuring out how much equity to give to investors and all of that stuff, like I'm lost. I've tried reading books and tried to figure out what and how I should approach this. Is that something you can also consult and help with?
I have really passionate and strong opinions about it. But I don't know that I'm right. I don't think I'm wrong, of course, because they're my opinions. But I'll tell you what I do think. I, as a general rule, I do not like the idea of an early stage company taking on investment for equity. I think it's not a great move because we get into something called pricing. And pricing just sounds like, oh, there's a price on a thing and I don't cost this. But in fact, what you've done by doing that is you've said, oh, I'll take, let's say you take $1 million from someone for 10% of your business. You just price the business at 10 million. But you may not have been in business long enough or active long enough to actually have a valuation. So that price is the valuation. So you just set, you did a, now we call it a price round, right? That's like the terminology. And so by setting the price of your business, you've kind of backed yourself into a weird place going forward, because now you're going to have to like perform against that. Whereas if you take it on debt, which is my preference, people are so like weirded out and get uncomfortable with debt. But in the context of a startup or an early stage business, really, it should be convertible debt. Some people like to use an instrument called a SAFE, which is essentially a convertible debt. It just has a different name and like some other different parameters. But that said, that puts like limits on it. So like, I'll take your money and I'll guarantee you some kind of return. And we'll say that the business is going to, like, we'll put a cap on what the valuation can be. But because we haven't been in business long enough to say what the value of our business is, we're going to take this on as debt, as convertible debt. So there may be an event in the future, let's call it a triggering event. That could be someone wants to buy your business. That could be you want to raise another round of capital. That could also just be the maturity date of that convertible note. And at that moment, you could go back to your investors, probably before, but you could go back to them and say, we cannot pay you this note back. Do you want to convert to equity, or can we continue to hold this note? You may also be raising a round of capital, in which case you would have to ask them, do you want to stay invested in this? But now we're going to dilute you in terms of your possible equity in this business. It's kind of, it gets into some like really tricky stuff and like math that's a little bit complicated for people, but all in all, it's like fairly straightforward. That you're gonna let, with a new investor, you're gonna let someone new in the door. And so you gotta like, everyone gets squeezed a little, including ownership. So I think that's better because you never have to price the business really, really early because you just don't know. You could have a business on your hands worth $100 million and you just let someone own 10% of it for $1 million. I mean, maybe you really, really needed that $1 million, but I'm willing to wager they probably could have gotten someone to give you $1 million as convertible debt if you just kind of like hung in there and you had a really smart pitch and a smart business model to back all of it up.
Wow. I love that. I think I'm probably going to take that approach.
Call me later.
I mean, you just solved my problem in a matter of 2 minutes, literally. Okay. I'm not going to read the books anymore. I'm just gonna, and I think that was my biggest challenge, just putting the pressure of evaluating my business. I feel like it's still somewhat fairly new. We just opened the retail store. I don't have enough data to be able to go back and say, well, I project in 2 years, we're going to generate this much money. I can't project that yet. I haven't really done enough marketing and promotion to be able to know what my cost per acquisition is. Online and offline work so differently. It's really hard for me to take the data and my metrics and transition that into projecting the offline sales. It's just impossible. So I have to give the offline, sales a chance or a time to gather the metrics and then be able to assess. And so I rather kind of stay away from all that because it's a lot of work and a lot of projections. And ultimately it's going to be BS. If we're not looking at real numbers, then we're really coming up with stuff as we go. And I don't want to do that because I don't want the pressure. So thank you. I think you just solved a huge problem of mine. Is there anything else that you want to share about being the CFO, offering this amazing service as a CFO to startups and small to medium sized companies?
Yeah, I think that there's a really cool element to it that I really enjoy, which is, I get to develop amazing relationships with business owners or founders. So I have one client that has four founders and I've developed unique relationships with all of them. I do not work intimately with all of them. I work more intimately with one, and then I have relationships with a couple of the others because I have sort of ongoing work with them. But I think for my clients, they end up with another business partner or a partner in their process. So I have other clients where it's just one business owner and I work with them, or they're the CEO and I work really closely with them. And I kind of like jokingly call it that I'm like a business partner for hire, because I think it's also a personality thing where I come in and I'm like, listen, I'm going to shoot really straight with you. There's no BS. This is, what I think we should do. Or I ask questions. I want to understand and learn so I can best support my clients. But they end up with, I think, a powerful ally and someone who will challenge them, which is a cool dynamic. And I think sometimes people think that they have to hire someone to work for them inside of their company as an employee. And I think that the dynamic shifts when I come in like more in a consulting role, but an ongoing consulting role, because we have this like sort of peer-to-peer relationship and not this like subordinate superior thing. And I just think that I see my clients like really flourish as just a byproduct of, my business. And so I think that's, it's just a really cool thing. And I enjoy it a lot too.
I do have to agree to that, especially I think I've been thinking a lot about this, where if I'm pitching to VCs and I have someone, whether it's my accountant or CFO in-house, who doesn't have much experience with investors and so on, are they going to really give me the information that is needed for me to prepare myself as best as I could? And I feel like your experience, especially with your previous work, it's just so valuable, where you can come in from an outside and look at the entire picture from an outside perspective and be able to almost assess things from an investor's point of view, rather than just someone who is working for Maria and I'm obligated to project and make the numbers look great. But
and
that's what I don't want. I want to be able to really solidify the business model and make sure that the numbers make sense. I don't want to take people's money and not be able to pay them back. I want to succeed. And if there are certain flaws in my numbers or my finances or whatever, or certain channels aren't profitable, then I rather cut and fix the problem before I even go to the investors. Like, I know the wholesale side of our business, I'm not too happy about it. My margins are not healthy, like most businesses, right? Obviously retail is different, wholesale is different, but I would love a professional, like I would love your thoughts on it before I decide to put a pause on the entire wholesale side of our business. I don't want to just make that judgment, because maybe all I need to do is increase the quantity of the products that I'm producing so that I'm cutting the cost, and then maybe the margins could make sense if I'm scaling and taking on.
Or you increase your limit on order sizes.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are ways to tweak. And I feel like there are certain things that I just can't make these strategic decisions without having a professional come in and look at things. And that's where I'm at, where now I'm at a point where I'm trying to really optimize my business model. And get it ready to not just scale, but also take, well, in order to scale, I need the investment so that I can scale. But in order to get the investment, I need to make sure everything's in order. And so I love your service. I love your experience. I love all the knowledge. And I can't wait to personally start working with you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.